And we're asking, Holy Spirit, that you would come and teach us afresh. That today would be a day where we would understand, we would see, we would spiritually discern, we would have things that are not clear made clear by your Holy Spirit. God, would you come and help us? We're asking, Lord, not only to hear you, but we want to be changed by your presence. We want to be changed by the things you say to us. Jesus, we ask that you'd walk in this place and that you'd be moving amongst us in an incredible and changing and powerful way. Lord, we so want you to come. Come amongst us today, Lord. Amen. The evangelist, the South American evangelist, Luis Palau, he tells a story of a mother who approached the French Emperor Napoleon, and she was seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a serious offense, not once, but twice, and justice demanded that he be put to death. "But I don't ask for justice," the mother said. "I plead for mercy." "But your son does not deserve mercy," Napoleon replied. "Sir," the woman cried, "it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for." "Well then," the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And Napoleon spared the woman's son. The woman understands something. She understood something of the nature of mercy. It's not based on merit. It gets us out of a situation we can't get ourselves out of. And it's given, mercy is given by someone who has the power to help us. One of my boys was telling me of a game they play in the school playground. The boys lock hands with each other and each try to push the opponent's hands back until they kind of bend back. It's a trial of strength until one of the boys gives in and cries mercy. The opponent stops pushing and the other person's hands are then released. A typical playground kind of game. It's a game they simply called mercy. The winner is the one who realizes they haven't got the strength and they give in. My talk today is part of a two-part talk. I started last week, and last week I talked about the grace of God. I mentioned briefly last week the mercy of God. This morning we're going to try and get hold of something more, try and understand more, try and receive more of the mercy of God in our lives. Starting point again is to see that just as grace is part of God's character, mercy too is another of his rich aspects of the person of God himself. God is a merciful God. The Old Testament prophets tell us of the nature of God. They reveal to us the nature of God. What God has shown them, they wrote down. In Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 3 and verse 12, says this, "For I am merciful, declares the Lord." God's telling us, showing himself, the nature of God is he is a merciful God. He's a God who is full of mercy. Daniel, a prophet, in Daniel 9:9, declares plainly, "The Lord our God is merciful." It's what he is, it's who he is, it's part of his person, part of his character. In the New Testament, the Apostle James tells us in James 5:11, "The Lord is full of mercy," of compassion and mercy. The Lord is full. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. You imagine God seated on his throne and the heart of God is just full of compassion and mercy. Not only that, but God has revealed himself as one who delights to show mercy. So not only is his heart full of mercy, but actually he takes great delight in exercising that mercy, in bestowing that mercy. Like Napoleon gave mercy to that son, God takes great delight. We see it in Micah chapter 7 and verse 18. It says, "A God who delights to show mercy." It's as though God's just waiting. Where can I show mercy? How can I demonstrate mercy? Where can mercy flow on the earth? God's heart is full and he's looking to be delighted as he shows mercy. Paul to the Ephesians says in Ephesians 2:4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, this God, his heart is full, he delights and he's just rich, rich in mercy. God has riches for us. One of those riches is the riches of mercy. Recently, someone was telling me of a preacher who got up in their church and told them what his God was like. As he talked on, it became clear that the God he was talking about, his God, was nothing like the God revealed in Scripture. It highlights the danger of making a God in our own image. We can have opinions about how we want God to be that are pretty useless. Because at the end of the day, God is an eternal being who was, always was, God who is, and God who always will be. God has revealed himself with a certain unchangeable character. God has some attributes and not others. He's revealed himself, among other things, as a merciful God. Now, just as last week we're talking about grace, I must confess I've been a Christian some time, I found the whole idea of mercy hard to get hold of. I think maybe growing up in a Christian home, it's one of those words you hear, become familiar with the word mercy, but don't actually kind of get a handle on what does that mean? How does that affect me? What does mercy have to do with me? It can be, to be honest, and for me it was, a religious word without power or impact or effect in my life. We're going to start this morning by looking at an incident in the Bible in Genesis 19, just to start getting a handle on what does this word mercy mean. We're going to look at an incident where Lot experienced the mercy of God. Now, Lot was the nephew of the patriarch Abraham. And in Genesis 19, he was living in a city called Sodom. It was a wicked, it was an evil city. The sin of the people of that city reached such a height that God decided to destroy the city and its evil people. But God wanted to preserve Lot and his family because Lot was a man who didn't live like the rest of the people in that city. The Apostle Peter gives us a commentary. It's fantastic. Scripture is fantastic in that it has a commentary. Often you find one scripture gives a commentary on another aspect of scripture. And so Peter, the Apostle Peter, gives us insight into how Lot felt living in that city. This is how Lot felt. Peter said, God rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lies of lawless men. For that righteous man, that's Lot, living among them day by day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Sodom was an evil place. And as the judgment of God was about to fall on that city, some angels came dispatched from heaven to rescue Lot and his family. Look at the story in Genesis 19, starting at verse 15. This is what it says. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry! Take your wife, your two daughters who are here with you, and or you'll be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand, the hands of his wife and the two daughters, and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they'd been brought out, one of them said, flee for your lives, don't look back, don't stop anywhere on the plain, flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away. But Lot said to them, no, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes. You've shown great kindness to me in sparing my life, but I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me. I will die. Look, there's a town near enough to run to. It's small. Let me flee to it. It's very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared. Then he said to him, very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of. See, Lot was rescued from this disaster that he couldn't escape from himself. He couldn't escape from maybe out of fear, maybe out of feeling this was his home, maybe just didn't know what to do or how to get out of the situation. Whatever, he couldn't escape from Sodom. But God in his mercy dispatched some angels. The angels arrived and said, come on, you need to go, you need to flee. But the mercy of God was so much, the mercy of God was so overflowing that these angels grabbed his hand and pulled him out and got him out. And not only that, as they were saying, right now, off you go. As he was starting to leave, he said, I can't make it to the mountains. Whether he was a bit of a weed, I don't know, whatever, but he just, I can't make it up there. And so he said, what about this little town over there? Could I go over there instead? And again, the mercy of God said, okay. The kindness of God said, yes. Lot was rescued from a disaster he couldn't escape from himself. God had mercy on him. A person needs mercy when they're in a place of danger, in a problem, can't get out on their own. They need someone stronger. From the account in Genesis, we see that mercy from God looks practically like this. It's finding favor with God, and it's God reaching down, sparing a person, not allowing them to be destroyed, rescuing a person, delivering someone from disaster. Now, we're all familiar with the need for mercy from God for the sinner. Person who's not a Christian, in desperate need of the mercy of God. They've got no right to come before God and demand anything. Person who's a sinner, who doesn't know God, who's living in rebellion to God, needs the mercy of God to rescue them out of their sin. We see that in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Peter says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. In his great mercy. So out of this great, this generous mercy of God, God reaches down to give a person new births. So mercy and new birth, mercy for the sinner, something we're familiar with, something that we understand, got our hearts around it, we can see that. We can see how a person who's lost needs the mercy of God if they're going to be saved. And in fact, Peter continues in 1 Peter 2:10. He says, once you were not a people, talking to us as believers, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, when you're a sinner, when you're away from God, when you weren't walking with God, you were, didn't receive God's mercy. But now, as part of the family of God, you have received mercy. So it's almost like I said, becoming a Christian is the whole thing of receiving mercy. It's almost part of the whole package of becoming a Christian is to receive the mercy of God. The unbeliever is in great need of the mercy of God. But just as last week when I was talking about the grace of God and we saw that the grace of God's got two aspects. We've got the grace of God needed to get us from not being a Christian to being a Christian, that aspect of the grace of God. But also we need the grace of God as a Christian to walk in what God's called me to walk, to give me the power, to give me the ability to do the things God's called me to do and to live like Jesus. I need the grace of God. In a similar way, I'm going to show us that actually the mercy of God, here I am not a Christian, I need the mercy of God to so I can become a Christian. But once I am a Christian, I actually need the mercy of God to walk as a Christian. And we're going to see that in Scripture. I want to just say that there's a difference between mercy and grace that's just helpful, I think, at this stage, just to kind of highlight. Because mercy is God getting us out of a bad situation we couldn't have got out ourselves. Imagine you fall in a pit, you've fallen down a hole, and the side of the pit you've fallen in is kind of slippery, and so you're trying to get out, and you just realize you cannot get out. You cannot climb out. You're in a hole, and you cannot climb out of that hole. You're stuck there. The only way you're ever going to get out of that hole is if someone else comes down, reaches down a hand, grabs hold of you and pulls you out. You are not going to get out on your own. We're only going to get out if someone stronger reaches down to rescue us. And I say that is mercy. Whereas grace is God's empowering us to live for him. So just to recap, we said last week that grace is the power of God working in our lives to enable us to do the things he's calling us to and to be the person he's calling us to be. That's the grace of God. And so the mercy of God is the kindness of God reaching down in a situation where I've got no resources and no ability to rescue myself. That's the mercy of God. In one sense, mercy comes before grace. It's not always helpful, and it's not always possible to sort of delineate, put these things in boxes, define them exactly, because often in Scripture, mercy flows into grace, and grace flows into mercy, and where they meet, you know, trying to sort of kind of put them very clearly in these little boxes is not always helpful. But just as a starting point, just as broad strokes this morning, it can be helpful for us. The mercy from God is all about us getting out of our sin, getting out of desperate need, or getting out of opposition in our lives. Whereas the grace of God is all about empowering us to serve him and become more like Jesus. You can think of it, I start in a very negative position, maybe overcome by sin or defeat or circumstances or opposition. I need mercy to lift me out of that, get me to this position where I'm no longer entangled in that. But then I need the grace of God to empower me then to go on positively living for God and doing what he's called me to do. So grace and mercy working together. I realize that's very simplistic. Please forgive me if it seems so, but it's a starting point for what we're going to have to dig deeper this morning into Scripture to try and get our hearts and minds about what's the place of the mercy of God in our lives as followers of Christ. We're back again at Hebrews 4:16. Last week, our kind of key verse was this verse in Hebrews 4:16. The writer of the Hebrews, they're saying this. He's saying, let us approach the throne of God's grace with confidence for two things. So we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is written to Christians. The passage here, the writer of the Hebrews is addressing Christians, and he's saying as followers of Christ, he's encouraging us to approach, to come confidently, to come boldly before God's throne. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about the need to come before God and to pray as we're before him to do two things. Firstly, to receive mercy. Secondly, to find grace so they can help us in our time of need. Now, what he's saying is, as Christians, we will be in need, different types of need. When we are in those needs, there's a place to go. It's called the throne of grace. We can get in there confidently. As we get before God in prayer, there are two things that God is going to give us. One is his mercy and one is his grace. The writer of the Hebrews is saying, as Christians, we need continuously, or we need more than once, more than just getting us into the kingdom, but an ongoing basis, Christians need to receive mercy. That's the point that I want us to explore today. The context of this passage is Christians, the bit before this, is Christians struggling with need, Christians struggling with sin, Christians struggling with weakness. If you struggle with need or sin or weakness as a believer, this is addressing you. It's addressing me. That's the context of what it's saying. And these two things, grace and mercy, can be obtained as we're before God in prayer. It says here we can receive mercy. Christians need to have God's mercy in our lives. If there are needs or sin or the enemy is overwhelming you, we need to receive something from God. God has something for us to receive. The writer explains it's the mercy of God you're lacking. If I'm in a situation where I'm struggling with sin and I can't get out, like a hole, I'm trying to get out and it's all slippery and I'm just stuck there. I'm a Christian, but I'm struggling with sin. There may be some opposition that comes against me and I just can't get over it. I can't get through it. I can't break through. Again, I'm in a situation that's like a hole. I can't get out. I need some mercy. I need to receive some mercy. It could be just a weakness in my life, a challenge, a need, and I just can't get through. I can't get over it. I haven't got the resources to get out of it. In that case, God's solution is that you and I would receive mercy. Because mercy is God, someone stronger reaching down into me. I'm in this hole, God grabbing my hand and bringing me out. That's the mercy of God. That's what I need. That's what you need. As we approach God, of course, mercy can't be demanded. Mercy is not owed. Mercy is not obliged. Mercy is not earned. We can only ask and receive. Confident in the heart of God, the overflowing heart of God who delights to show mercy. Do you know what I was thinking this week? How vulnerable we are in our relationship with God. You know, I've got no bargaining power with God at all. I can't come to him and say, God, could you give me some mercy? Could you get out of the situation? In return, I'll do this and this. Actually, I'm stuck in this hole, this slimy pit, and I cannot get out, and I've got nothing to bargain with. All I can hope for is that God, in his tremendous, rich mercy, would reach down, get hold of my hand, and pull. Now, that makes me very vulnerable. Because I've got nothing to offer God. I can't persuade him. I can't twist his arm. I just have to rely on the character of God. There's nothing else to rely on but the character of God. But God has so clearly revealed himself. This is who he has. We've seen, as I started off this morning, God's revealed himself as someone full of mercy, who delights to show mercy, who's almost waiting for an opportunity to show his mercy. And here we've got an opportunity. We've got the means by which we can go and receive the mercy we need. Mercy is from God. Listen to what it says in Exodus 33:19. God showed Moses about himself. And this is how he showed. God said, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. You see, there's no, in a sense, you can't say to God, have mercy on me because of this or because of that. God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy. Thankfully, he wants to have mercy on us. But you see the kind of two sides of this. Oh, we've got nothing to persuade God to give us his mercy. Because God just shows compassion to whoever he wants to and has mercy on whoever he wants to. But because of his great love for us, he wants to. So we depend on him and his character. We're not on equal terms with God. Mercy is for the pitiful, for the weak, for those in need, for those who are powerless, and those who can't change their own circumstances. As we get a right view of ourselves, we realize, that's me, I need some help. Some ministries, preachers, books paint Christian life as living from one victory to the next. The Christian life about living in abundance. And a person who thinks they're supposed to be in victory all the time or in abundance all the time will not be asking God for mercy. Because they wrongly think God has given them everything they need and they just have to claim it and walk in it. But if you're needy, you'll ask for mercy. Proverbs 18:23 says, a poor man pleads for mercy. If I think I've got it all, I'm not going to be asking for mercy. It's only as I'm aware that I haven't that I'm going to be asking for mercy. I pray a lot these days. God, be merciful to me. God, be merciful to the lost. God, be merciful to the church. Paul's prayer in the New Testament was often mercy for Christians. In his letters, you look at this phrase, mercy to you. Sometimes combined with grace, grace and mercy to you. Or peace, mercy and peace to you. But he's praying that God would have mercy on the believers. In Galatia, wherever, in Galatians 6:6, he's saying mercy to you. Timothy, again in 1 Timothy 1:2, he's saying mercy. Timothy, you need mercy. Paul knew that they needed God's mercy. See, we can't move outside of the mercy of God. We need the mercy of God to get us from outside his family into his family. But once I'm in there, I can't then say, right, God, thank you for your mercy. I've finished with that. Now I'm moving on. Actually, I need that mercy. I need it to live the Christian life. So I'm actually in desperate need of mercy all my life as a Christian. I can never move on from it. I can't progress and think, well, God, thank you for your mercy now. I won't be needing that in the future. I'm in a position, always I'm going to be in a position where I need the mercy of God in my life. One of the great needs this morning in your life is for the mercy of God. More of the mercy of God. For you to receive more of the mercy of God. So God can lift you out of sin, defeat, opposition, struggle, and weakness. How do we get this mercy? Well, we're back on our knees before the throne of grace. In Hebrews 4:16, He says, let us approach the throne of grace so we can receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. There's the place we receive mercy. As I'm on my knees before God, as I'm before his throne, I'm there. And if I receive something, if you give me a present, if you said, Paul, this morning, I've got a present for you, then I would need to receive it. I would need to put my hands out, get hold of it, and take it. It's not something that's kind of automatically there. It's something I actively have to do to receive. And so if I'm not actively receiving God's mercy, I'm missing out on the mercy that could be mine. I'm missing out on the deliverance that could be mine. I'm missing out on the rescuing out of situations that could be mine. I'm missing it. Because I've just got my own resources, my own things I've got to get out of situations. I'm not absolutely asking God, would you please come? Exercise your mercy today in me. Lift me out of the situation at work, out of the situation with this relationship, out of this sin that I just can't break in my life. God, would you come and rescue me? Would you come and lift me out of it? Just imagine in your mind's eye for a moment, a slimy pit, a kind of a hole in the ground that's the side is all slimy and all slippery. And imagine that is a sin you struggle with, is an intractable situation at work, is an ongoing relationship nightmare, whatever it is in your life, something that just there is no, you've tried and there's no solution. And that's what the mercy of God's for. The mercy of God is so that I reach up in my hand, I'm there in this pit and I'm reaching up and I've got to receive it. There's the person trying to rescue me and I'm like this, I'm not reaching up to their hand. Says, no, I've got to receive it. I've got to put my hand up, grab hold of my rescuer's hand as they grab hold of me, as they pull me out. That's me receiving the mercy of God. It's active, it's in prayer, it's on my knees, it's before God as I receive the help I need to get me out of the situation that I'm in. I went through the Psalms recently. As I went through the Psalms, I marked in my Bible all the references where the psalmist was asking God for mercy. It's a major theme of the Psalms. In fact, there's a study sheet that Phil's put on the internet that goes with this talk that's going to be posted there. There's a study sheet for you to go use. It's all the references in the Psalms to mercy. Go through, study it, try and get hold of something. The Psalms seem to have the psalmist seem to have such a need for mercy. It's a great study as you go through and look at it. If we look at King David knew a lot about the mercy of God. He recognized the need for mercy. The cry for mercy in David's heart is repeated in psalm after psalm after psalm that he wrote. Just less than half of the 150 psalms were written by David, but most of the references to mercy actually are in the psalms he wrote. David seemed to realize, King David thought, I need mercy. And as you read again and again and again, he's crying out to God for mercy. It seems like for him, for David, mercy was a very important thing. It was often on the words of his lips. It was often in his prayer, mercy, mercy, mercy. Remember, David, of course, was a man after God's own heart. He had a close, a deep relationship with God. Yet again and again, he turns to God and prays for mercy, asks for mercy. Now, this is interesting because David asked for mercy in three circumstances. Now, just it would help us, I think, this morning to see these three things, three areas of need that David asked for help. These are the areas that he asked for help in. He asked for mercy from God. He asked for mercy when he's in great need. He's in an intractable situation. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know which way to turn. And so he asks, God, would you have mercy on me in this situation? Then he asks mercy when he's sinned and he's aware of his sin. And then he asks for mercy when he's under attack from an enemy and he doesn't know how he's going to get out of that attack. Those are three things. Now in Psalm 86, he prays for mercy three times And each one is a different aspect of that cry for mercy. He obviously was in a desperate state by Psalm 86 and was pleading, God, would you have mercy in this area of my life and mercy in this area of my life? He was desperate. In Psalm 86 in verse 1, he says, have mercy on me for I'm poor and needy. Have mercy on me, for I'm poor and needy. Save your servant who trusts in you. And verse 3 says, have mercy on me. The verse after that says, have mercy on me. He was pleading. He's saying, God, I'm poor and needy. Would you have mercy on me? See how he starts there? Look, he realizes that he is in need. He's in a situation of need. So what drove him then was to say, God, would you have mercy on me? Because I can't get out of this need myself. If for this morning in my life, if there are needs for money or for situation or for difficulties around, I'm in a situation of need. If I realize I haven't got the resources in me to get out of that need, David's telling us there's somewhere to go. It's to the throne of grace on our knees, and we're saying, God, would you have mercy on me? Then further on in the same psalm in verse 5 and 6, David says, you're a forgiving and good God. The only reason you need to be forgiven is if you've sinned. He's saying, you're a forgiving God. Look how it finishes. Lord, listen to my cry for mercy. He realizes that he's sinned. He's done some things that are wrong. And therefore, he turns to God. He's back to the throne of grace. Back there, he's pleading, talking to God, crying out for mercy. And then finally, in Psalm 86 and verse 14 to 16, he says, the arrogant are attacking me. So he's under attack. He feels that there's things against him, things that are closing in on him. And so again, he says, God, would you turn to me and have mercy on me? So in our lives as followers of Christ, as lives, people that love God, that want God, there are situations that arise. And whatever those situation is, there's a place to go and there's some thing that can rescue me out of that situation. David is often asking God for mercy. I'll just read through a couple of things he says. These are a couple of the Psalms. Lord, your great, remember me, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for therefore of old. Hear my cry for mercy. Again, he carries on. O Lord, I cry for mercy. Again, he says, you heard my cry for mercy when I called for help. Psalm 51, when he sinned, he says, have mercy on me, O God. Psalm 57, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. He's crying again and again. His cry before God is for mercy. Again and again, David's back on his knees before God, asking for mercy. David knows the place. If you look at the life of David and all the things he went to, David went through some very, very tough times. You look through the time when Saul was persecuting him, was trying to take his life. You see this man and how the difficult times that David went through. And yet his solution every time seems to have been down on his knees before God, asking God for this rescue and this mercy, that God would stretch down his hand and lift him up and take him out of the situation that he's in. I want to say this morning, do you need the mercy of God in your life? Lamentations 3:23 says, new every morning are your mercies. Isn't that encouraging? That every morning that God's mercies are there for me and they're new. God's there ready again to reach down into my situation to lift me out. Is there sin defeating your life? Is there a hard situation we can't get out of? Is there opposition that seems overwhelming? We need the mercy of God to grab hold of our hand. Remember those angels in Genesis 19? They went to Lot, they grabbed hold of his hand. And even when he was just paralyzed with fear or whatever, they grabbed his hand, they pulled him out of that place. They came stronger than he was, rescued him and pulled him out of that disaster. That's what we need. That's what we need, is God reaching down, getting hold of our hand and pulling us out of our situation to a safe place. I feel that it's important this morning that we realize that we are these people who are in need to receive the mercy of God. One final aspect of David's pursuit of mercy from God, I want to look at in Psalm 123 and verse 2. I love this verse. I've thought about this verse a lot, and it's a lovely verse because David's saying, as the eyes of a slave look to the hand of their master, in other words, if there was a slave and a master, the slave is just there waiting to see, what do you want me to do next? So there's the master here, there's the slave here, and the slave's looking to the master thinking, do you want me to go and do this? Do you want me to go and do that? There's a kind of expectancy, a just focus. Everything's focused on the master and what the master wants. Or the eyes of a maid look to the hand of a mistress. So there's a mistress, there's a maid, then the maid's just looking, what can I do to please? What can I do to help? So our eyes look to our God. So he's saying in the same way, David's saying in the same way that there's a kind of a just looking to God. It's God, you have to show us. You have to move. You have to do something. There's this sense of singleness, of looking to God. We look to him, and this is the punchline. Until he shows us mercy. Until he shows us mercy. See, I don't think it's good enough for us just to go briefly. Here I am. I'm on my way to a difficult situation. I've got an interview, you know, in 5 minutes' time. I'm walking through the door as I go in. God, would you help me? As I'm kind of just about to go in and sit down and face the grilling. Because actually, there's something I need to receive. I need to receive the mercy of God. I need God to reach down and to get hold of me. And I may need to keep asking. I may need to be before that throne. I may need to be there looking as these examples are here, looking to our God until we can receive the mercy we need. That's why, as a church, we're continuing to pray Wednesdays and Fridays. There's three themes that we keep coming back to when it comes to our prayer. We keep praying for those who don't know Christ, praying for the church, and praying for us, his followers. And one of the things we're praying is for the mercy of God. As we pray for the lost, we pray for God to have mercy on those that don't know Christ. As we start to do that, as we start to pray for the lost, God, would you please have mercy on the people that live in this area? Would you have mercy on this city? Would you have mercy on North London? God, would you reach down? Would you forgive their sin? Would you move in salvation? As we start to do that, we realize that God has commissioned his church to be the means of winning the lost. So then we start to look at the church, and then we start to realize, God, we need your mercy in the church. So then we start praying, God, would you pour out mercy on the church? Because we need mercy. If we're going to be able to win the lost, God, we need your mercy flowing here in the church. And as we start praying for the church, not just New Life, but churches across London, start crying out the church would arise, crying out that the church would once again turn North London upside down. God, as you start to do that, asking for mercy from God, we start to realize that actually in praying for the church, we're not praying for some institution that's sort of out there. Actually, we're praying for the church, which is the people of God. As we do that, we start to look at our own lives. As we start to look at our own lives, we realize, oh, I'm not living in such a way that I'm going to make the church be all that it's intended to be. And so then we end up praying, God, have mercy on me. You see how this whole thing, it's like a virtuous circle. Not a vicious circle, a virtuous circle. We start praying for the lost. As you pray for the lost, you realize the need of the church. You start praying for the church, start realizing my need. I start praying for God to equip me. Then my heart goes back out to the lost, and you just keep praying this whole thing. Until we've lost our verse. If we have our verse back, the last verse, Bob, 123. Until he shows us his mercy. And so that's why we're praying. And that's why we're keeping praying. That's why we've been praying last month and the month before, because we're looking to our God, asking for mercy for the lost, for the church, and for us, his people, and for me. Until God shows us, his mercy, until God reaches down, gets hold of us. And God is pouring out his mercy, and we're starting to see the fruit of that mercy. But I think I need some more of God's mercy. I think the church in North London needs more of the mercy of God. And it's plainly obvious that the lost in North London need the mercy of God. And so that's why we're praying and keeping praying and doing what David did, that our eyes are looking to God until he would do this. But it starts, it comes back to me. It comes back to you. It comes back for my need for the mercy of God. Let's close our eyes and pray. Wonderful God. Lord, thank you that you're full of mercy. Thank you, you delight to show mercy. Thank you that your heart is one to bestow mercy, to have compassion and mercy upon us. Lord, we confess this morning that we as your people are in the situation like the Laodicean church that said, you're wretched, blind, poor, naked. God, we need your mercy in our lives much more. To rescue us, to help us, Lord. And so this morning we're coming before your throne of grace. And we want to receive something from you. We want to receive your mercy, helping us, lifting us out of our situation, lifting us out of sin. God, we look to you. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of the master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he shows us his mercy. Lord, Lord, would you give us the heart of David? Would you give us that same heart that you said was after your heart? You commended David's heart, Lord, saying it was after your heart. And yet there's no one perhaps in Scripture who more exemplifies someone who knew his desperate need for the mercy of God. And so God, would you open our eyes to see our need for mercy? Would you open our eyes to see your hand reaching down into our situations and our personal lives, rescuing us, lifting us out of these things? Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you come and that you would this morning just put your finger upon areas of our lives where we need mercy, or we haven't got the resources to rescue ourselves, resolve a situation, or get out of something. Holy Spirit, would you put your finger on these things? Just as we're going to be quiet for a moment, I'm going to ask that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to see what he brings to mind. It could be a sin that you're struggling with. It could be a situation that you just feel you can't get through. Or it could be some opposition that's just too much. Whatever it is, let's get before God and let's get before his throne of grace. And this morning, let's receive some mercy to help us in our time of need. Just going to ask Martin to quietly minister to us with some music, and she says, let's just take, we've got opportunity this morning, got some time before the kids rush in and with all their energy and noise. we've got some space this morning before the throne of grace. I just want to really encourage you to let's use this time. Get on your knees if that's helpful. Stand up if that's helpful. If not, just sit, whatever you find helpful. But be before the throne of grace, looking for God's hand reaching down, rescuing you.